Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones. From Learfield IMG College, this is Big Ten Basketball. Penn State, Ohio State.
Far sideline Wheeler, cross court to Lundy. Near wing three, Lamar Stevens, good. Attacking the basket to our left, it's Dredd to his left. Near wing Myron Jones for three, good. Back to double digits. Myron Jones to the far wing. They blitz him with Caleb Wesson. He stops in the corner, trouble. Open three, Curtis Jones, good. Back to Dredd, top of the key, reposting his Hera.
Lundy for three.
They're on the way. Got it. 10 to shoot. Brockington far wing three. Myron Jones. Good. Here we go. Stevens. Front court. Keeps on going. Keeps on going. Slam dunk. Right hand. Lamar Stevens. The Nittany Lions win it. And they win it in a runout. 90-76. Now 13-5 in the year.
College basketball at its best on the Penn State Sports Network.
And there it is, a victory Monday for the Penn State Nittany Lions after they upset number 21 Ohio State for the Thon game at the Jordan Center. A big win, as we heard right here on WKOK. Plus, it is a championship Monday, too, for the 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs as they are on their way to Super Bowl 54, as also heard here on WKOK. Welcome in to the Steve Jones Show as we start a new week. Our show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Go to purdyinsurance.com or visit them at their office on Market Street in Sunbury. Steve will soon be coming to us from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, where it's 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Bob Buhner also joining us today. Bob, welcome.
Hello.
Good to have you back.
Hey, Matt. Lots going on in the world of sports. We've got two relatively local guys going to be playing in the Super Bowl.
Exactly right, starting with Brett Veach, the GM of the Chiefs, Mount Carmel native, and Robbie Gould, Lock Haven native for the 49ers.
Yeah, so it's a real local flavor to a Super Bowl that doesn't always happen. Now, we had a few years ago Henry Hynoski, the Hino, for the New York Giants.
That's right.
But this is a good – this is sports fan heaven. We had Penn State wrestling on Sunday afternoon, a big win, a virtual near shutout against Rutgers. Bucknell basketball Saturday night against their arch rival Lehigh.
And yes, big win for the men.
You were there right at center court.
That's right, yeah. That was a big win for them. And it was, you can tell they had the energy right there in front, ready to go. Defense, I thought, looked as best as they've ever seen, because I know they're trying to do some new things with switches and things like that. I thought that worked to perfection with what Lehigh was trying to do. Three-pointers finally came about. Avi Toomer had a big start. So did Bruce Moore after he returned from injury. So it was a big win for the men.
Yeah,
and the women, too, of course. Trounced Lehigh on the road, and now they're first place in the Patriot League, 5-0.
Men at 4-2 in the Patriot League. Mm-hmm. A rather disappointing loss earlier in the week to American on a three-point buzzer beater at Bucknell, at DeSoica. So we've got 2 weeks minus a day till Super Bowl 54 down in Miami. I think we'll find some subjects to talk about related to that.
Yes, no question there. And, of course, we got a big week continuing here for Penn State men's hoops. To get that win the way they did against Ohio State and just flatten them the way they did, finally the guys that you would look to, Myron Jones, Lamar Stevens, Mike Watkins, they all finally kind of came back after not having such a great road trip, so to speak, at Rutgers and Minnesota. You come back there, now you get ready for a big game against Michigan. If you can find a way to get a win against Michigan, maybe you find yourself back in the conversation to get back in the top 25. You got five Big Ten teams in the top 25 right now. Michigan State, Iowa, Illinois, And forgot the other two off the top of my head, but this is as competitive as it gets for the Big Ten. And Baylor, now the new number one, too.
Yeah, and, you know, displacing Gonzaga, who had a late game Saturday night against BYU. The thing I want to look forward to asking Steve about Penn State basketball is two things. Wow, they scored 90 points, which is very impressive, like Loyola Marymount of the way back in the day. And also, is this the largest point differential for Penn State getting beat by 30 and winning by 14 in a season? I mean, that's a tremendous turnaround.
Definitely. I know the 90 points they scored was, I believe, a record for the record for most amount of points scored in the against the top 25 team for the team. I think that's true. I have to try and double check. I'm trying to find that here.
We need our crack stat man.
Yes.
We'll get him on it at a break. And so, lots going on. Penn State wrestling.
Did they win?
They showed up rather convincingly, Steve.
No, you know what's interesting is they had four primary events here this weekend. Two hockey games.
Yeah.
Wrestling and basketball. And the four of them ended up with 35,000 in attendance. Three of them were sellouts and one was a near sellout. Yeah, and the weather was lousy this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Just a little bit of ice and snow and freezing rain, but...
I mean, Friday was okay. Saturday was not great, yet there's almost 15,000 in the Jordan Center. You have over 6,000 at Pagula. And then, look, let's be honest, Sunday, I mean, that matchup is on TV. It's sacrificed on national TV to be opposite the AFC Championship game on ESPN. I want to say, was it ESPNU?
No, ESPN2.
ESPN2. So, I mean, it's sacrificed, which means it got a 0.2 rating or something like that because it's on opposite that.
Sure.
So it's not on the best time, and it still sells out.
Yeah, and I one of the interviews after the game, after the wrestling match, was Vincenzo Joseph, and he was asked on ESPN, what's it like to wrestle here? And he just sort of pointed to the stands and said, in essence, our fans are passionate, and they always show up for us.
Yes, always, no matter what. They put them at a bad time. They put them against the AFC Championship game, which, no offense, there's slightly more national interest. And
not in central Pennsylvania. Just kidding.
Slightly more local interest, too. and they still sell it out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's impressive. And so you've got a Super Bowl now with the two best teams. I mean, that's why if you're the NFL in its 100th season, while it would have been really cool to have Green Bay and Kansas City, the first Super Bowl matchup being played out in the 100th season, yeah, that would be neat. There are a lot of things that would be nice matchups, but you've got the two best teams. And that's the part where for the NFL, they've got the best possible showcase they could have. For us, locally, you've got five former Nittany Lions and one former Mount Carmel High School grad deeply involved in this thing. For Kansas City, obviously, you got Jordan Lucas and Stefan Wisniewski, and Wiz is now starting for the Chiefs. And, of course, Brett Veach from Mount Carmel High School is the GM. And then you go to the 49ers, and they've got Kevin Givens, Anthony Zettel, and Robbie Gold. So you got a lot of local ties, five Penn Staters in this game. And so, you know, in 13 days, I think you've got a matchup that is going to give the NFL its best shot at looking good. And you've got a quarterback in the game that you are aching to promote anyway because there are very few players I would pay to see. Very few, right? Patrick Mahomes is one of them. In the NFL, I got paid to see Saquon Barkley, so I have to go pay to see him, yeah. Right? All right, so I got, Barkley would be one, that if I were independent, I'd pay to see. But Patrick Mahomes is, there's only a couple guys I'd pay to see. He's one. There are very few other people I would.
He is just so deceptive in what he does and how he does it that he has defenses baffled.
Well, let's take the touchdown run.
Oh, my goodness.
The touchdown run is a great run, but you don't want to know what makes it a great run? Is how smart he is. All right? He knows when you've got people left and right going, oh, the play clock ran out. Like, how's that possible? That gigantic thing in front of you, right? And I was talking about Lamar Jackson, right? Got to the line of scrimmage at 2:12 to go in the half in a game where they need possessions, they need plays, and they ran it to the 2-minute warning without snapping it. Like, well, what are you doing? Right? Mahomes on that touchdown run. You want to know how smart he is? He cut it back to the inside. You want to know why he cut it back to the inside? He knew he could. Why? He knew he had 2 timeouts left.
Yeah, he didn't
guess
need
what?
To score.
He knew what the deal was. If I'm short, we'll call a timeout. Right? His release is outstanding. His accuracy, to be honest with you, I'd like to see what the chart is on the number of drops he's had the last 2 weeks. Because he's completing at a high percentage to begin with, but the number of drops has knocked down his percentage slightly, obviously. And I think you can tell that I've always felt a big plus for Mahomes in complete health is when he has the ability, right? You can tell the knee's fine because you can tell the way he moves in the pocket, where he buys himself enough time because he's not a runner. He is not a runner. He can run, but he's not a runner. But you can see the ease with which he moves to get himself out of trouble in the pocket. That certainly is on display. And then Jimmy Bob Greasy Garoppolo, who threw all, Greasy threw what, 15 passes total in 2 Super Bowl wins, 7-1 and 8 the other. I'm not kidding.
I know. And
I'm not joking.
No.
Garoppolo threw 8 passes yesterday.
But
that shows you how smart Kyle Shanahan is.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan is incredibly smart. Why? He didn't have to show off what a great play caller he is because he said, that's working. Let's keep doing.
That's working.
We're going to keep doing. That's how the good ones don't sit there and go, hey, I want to show everybody how smart I am. No, you're smart because you know it's working. And Raheem Mostert, who had been on 6 teams, 6, since leaving Purdue.
Including the Eagles in 2015.
Right. Well, believe me, a year from now, he'll be on his 7th, okay? It's just the way it is in the league, okay? He had himself a day. He's been really good down the stretch.
Well, I thought Garoppolo had some of the best handoffs in the NFL. I mean, because he kept doing it from start to finish.
He fumbled none.
Yep.
How much more can you ask a guy to do? Back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street and Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
All right, great to have you with us. Hey, by the way, just a quick tribute to a good friend that has meant a lot to me in my career, especially early in my career. Yesterday, being January 19th, meant it was the start of the 45th year on the air in Pittsburgh for Stan Saverin. Stan Saverin, I had the privilege of working with in the 80s on the Penn State Network. Stan and George Paterno did the TV side while Gil Santos, John Grant, and I were working on radio side. I was the third guy, so Gil was the play-by-play man, John was the color analyst. And we did, Nelson Goldberg, the late Nelson Goldberg, came up with this idea of a one-hour pregame show, of which 45 minutes was spent in a roundtable discussion with Joe Paterno as part of the pregame show. So I got to work and be around Stan all the time. Now, I am the junior member of this crew by a margin, okay? And not only, I don't mean just in age, I mean in experience. When it came to, those guys were more experienced, and I learned so much by observing Gil Santos. I learned so much by observing John Grant, and I learned so much by observing Stan Savern. And Stan Savern, right, even though I was the one that had the least amount of experience there, treated me so well. And I learned so much from him. And, I texted him earlier today to congratulate him on this. Really, it's in this business is an awesome accomplishment, right? Well, he deserves that awesome accomplishment because he's just that good. And you know what? He knows how to treat people. And I'll tell you that right now, he knew how to treat this young broadcaster. And I am forever grateful to somebody I have a depth of respect for.
Steve, you know, it's just a shame that more people in central and northeastern PA don't get a chance to see Stan in action, no matter what the sport or what the event. He is a true Pittsburgh institution.
Oh, and you know what? Stan could do anything he wanted. Now talk. He's always done a lot of talk radio. He's been great on TV. Stan was a fabulous play-by-play guy. Mm-hmm. And when he and George were together, because remember, Stan had to step into huge shoes. Ray Scott.
Oh, the legend.
Ray Scott, right? And Stan stepped in, and you know what? To his credit, made it even better. And that's and Ray Scott was terrific. Stan made it even better. So I think the world of him. And I sent him something, and he texted me back earlier today. I'm not going to get into the exchange, but I cannot begin to tell you that as a young broadcaster, he couldn't have treated me any better. He's one of those individuals that gave me my best chance of success. You know, and then you can debate how much success I've had. You can debate it after that, because without those guys, it'd be even less than what you think.
Well, you know, he's done that for a lot of Pittsburgh broadcasters
You sure has. You're right, Bob.
And he's fun to listen to. There's no question about it.
Well, he's knowledgeable.
Yeah.
See, Stan doesn't do shtick.
No.
Stan does sports.
And he treats players, coaches, and the guy on the and the fan on the street with great respect.
Exactly, and that's where you get. I think you get the most information when you do that. Shtick is shtick.
No.
Knowledge is knowledge, and if you have complete confidence in your knowledge, then you use that as your way to reach people. If you don't, I think you use shtick.
Yep.
That's just my opinion.
And you're absolutely right.
Well, I mean, and I'm thinking about, you know, like you listen to Dave Ritchie. Knowledge. Knowledge.
Yep.
The other guy, I'm a little concerned about
when
shtick.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served the Valley for decades. They have done a great job over the years for their customers because they have found the right insurance, they've found the best prices, and if there's ever a claim, they go to work as if it happened to them. They're great people who are great professionals. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Okay.
Steve, go ahead. Steve, a question that Matt and I had right after the opening of the show.
No, I'm not resigning.
Okay.
Enough of that question. I mean, stop being fed by middle management.
Yes, exactly. the question is Penn State basketball. The point differential between the away at Ohio State and the home was basically 40 points.
Right.
In the obvious question, what was that about? That's the first question.
Well, let's start with this, because when Lamar Stevens was thrown out of the game, there was 12 minutes ago and the margin was 8. Okay? So suddenly the guy that gives you the best chance of being in the thing is now out of the game because he got thrown out on a technical foul, which ended up being his fifth foul. And that is that changed the dynamics of that game. In this game, Penn State got out to the lead. Penn State hit its shots. Penn State defended really well. See, the key is not the 90 is great and the 90 is entertaining, but it was the 27 they gave up in the first half. They defended Ohio State beautifully in the first half. That's where they built their margin, and Ohio State never got it down to single digits. So the first game was an odd game where, let's give Ohio State credit, they played really well, and and Ohio State hit shots. Luther Muhammad, Dwayne Washington, Caleb Wesson, they all hit threes in that game. But when Stevens got thrown out, right, that changed the dynamics of everything. That took, Ohio State's going to win the game, I think, probably. But I think they would have won the game between 6 and 15 points, right? They won by that margin because Lamar got tossed, right? And at this point now the bench is looking around. Well, this game Lamar got into foul trouble and other guys stepped up. A little bit older, been around it a little bit. And here's the other part. I think a lot of people don't realize this. Do you realize one team in the country has beaten the top 50 team 7 times this year? That's Kansas. 2 of them have 6 wins. All right? Coming in at number 4 at 5 wins, there's about 4 teams with 5 wins over top 50 teams. You do know Penn State's one of those teams. A lot of people don't realize how many really good wins Penn State has this year.
I think
past history is jading what people think.
Yeah, we know the Maryland win was a shock to the rest of the basketball world, to put it mildly. And now Ohio State, which was ranked, as high as 5 or 6?
2.
2. Oops. Even better. Steve, and then the second part of this is the home and away differential. I was listening to
to the Big Ten.
Yeah. At one point they said out of the 30 games that were played in the Big Ten, 25 6. Were won by the home team and 5 were won by the visiting team.
It was 6 by the visiting team.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin has 2 of them.
Yeah, and the question is, what is it about the Big Ten or about the home court advantage that really makes that differential so exaggerated?
Because I think the margin between teams in the conference is so slight, it gives you just that little added either boost or that little added, okay, we're on the road and it's a higher mountain to climb. I think it's very much like that. And I think that's that when it's that close, sometimes you need that one extra thing, and the home court gives the one extra thing. All right, let's get to Matt Leon from Philadelphia. We got to talk about the Eagles' OC situation. Matt, great to have you with us as
always. Doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Okay, so let's look at the Eagles' offensive coordinator's job. Graham Harrell, who's like the hot name, everybody's got to have him, says he's not going to be a candidate for that job. So how do you view this job right now, especially considering the fact that what role does the offensive coordinator play with the Eagles, considering Doug Peterson?
No, that's a fair question, because you're not the play caller. Obviously, Doug Peterson is calling the plays, so there's probably a limited ceiling in this job. I think if you're going to sell it to somebody, you say, hey, Frank Reich had this job, went to the Super Bowl. I would lean towards that.
I believe we have temporarily lost Matt. We'll try and regain our signal with him. It's probably a cell problem, but we will get back to him in just a moment. The Eagles are reportedly interested in Chiefs quarterbacks coach Mike Kafka. It's up to Andy Reid as to whether he blocks him from interviewing for the job or not. That's a name to at least watch for. And we'll talk about that in a few moments once we get Matt back on the line. Then a couple of other notes we want to get to as well. Graham Harrell has said no. So since he has said no, they're looking at the possibility of other candidates. All right. So you were saying, sir.
Yes.
About this may not be a job people want because, you know, you're not the play caller.
Yeah, I just think, I don't even know so much not the job people want, but I think you're going to see some candidates step away because it might be a lateral move or, you know, like Graham Harrell, your USC offensive coordinator, if you're a play caller.
Yeah.
Yes, it's the NFL, but, you know, your game day responsibilities are limited and such, so it'll be interesting. I would put my money that they promote Deuce Staley. I think that's something a lot of people have talked about. I would like to see them do that, and I would also like to see them bring in an outside pair of eyes to look at the offense, somebody who hasn't been with the organization, who maybe can give it a fresh once-over. And this maybe wouldn't be an offensive coordinator, but this would be some kind of quality control or offensive consultant, you know, any of the numerous buzzword titles that are thrown around when you want to bring somebody on the payroll, but you don't necessarily want them to count on your coaching list. So it'll be interesting to see. I would think the next week or two, though, we'll get our answer on who it's going to be.
What a guy that played quarterback against Penn State when he was at Northwestern that's currently on the Chiefs staff is Mike Kafka. Peterson, I believe when he was at Kansas City, Kafka was there with him. Is that a name that should at least bear some watching and as a possibility?
No, I think so. And he played here as a quarterback. The Eagles drafted him and
fourth round pick.
Like he had one game on a Monday night where he had to play in Atlanta or something like that. But that's a possibility. And given the Andy Reid, given the Doug Peterson, given the already connection to Philadelphia, very possible. I'm not going to sit here and say I know much about what Mike Kafka has done, but seems to kind of be following a lot of the Doug Peterson blueprint, which obviously has worked out pretty well here in Philly.
Well, look, if you're around Patrick Mahomes, your name's going to be around. You're going to rise up.
Hard to go wrong, isn't it?
That's why I ran into Jim Caldwell in Indianapolis when he was then the quarterback's coach, you know, before he became a head coach in the NFL. And I was kidding around him. I said, well, you know, and you and I both know, And Jim understood this because we talked often, like, the best ones want to be coached. And I said to him, you've done wonders with the Manning guy.
Yeah.
You know, and Jim laughed because he knew I was getting around with him.
Right.
But being around that kind of guy gets you that kind of notice. I mean, being around a guy like Patrick Mahomes does. I want to shift gears to the NBA right now. What do you see the Sixers right now in all of this?
I think they're a little bit inconsistent. I think your main job here is to just kind of hold the line with Embiid out until they get him back healthy. I think they're overall, I know there's a lot, they won three in a row, but it's never easy with them. They had to grit out a win on Sunday against the, or Saturday against the bad Knicks team. I think they will be fine once they get to the postseason. I think they are built to succeed in the playoffs. I think they will, when the game gets slower and more defensive-oriented, I think they will be a nightmare for a lot of teams.
Right.
That being said, some of their games are incredibly frustrating to watch as they, like this afternoon, they play Brooklyn, and I can almost guarantee you this game will be dental surgery to watch because the Nets seem to always give them fits, especially up there. But, I mean, overall, I think they're going to be okay, and I think they will be better in April and May than they are here in January and February.
Let me ask you about Ben Simmons. There's always a lot of there's always a major focal point in the fact that he's not an outside shooter, being a three-point shooter. Okay, fine. But he's also a long guy. What kind of defender is he, and does his defense play well in the playoffs?
Oh, absolutely. I think he takes over games at times defensively. It's always very interesting to me with Ben Simmons, and I give that the outside shooting thing is kind of bizarre because I think he would be an okay shooter. I don't think he'd be great at it, but I think he'd be serviceable, and serviceable enough where it would open up everything else for him. But that being said, the ability of everyone to focus on that and not all the elite things he does in the other aspects of the game, including defending, is very puzzling to me. You've got some people who should really know better who think that the Sixers should trade him because you can't win a championship with a guy like that that won't shoot, and I just kind of wonder what they're watching. But defensively, he's another one that he can swallow guys up because of the reach, the arm, the length of the arms and everything, and the basketball IQ. Everything else about his game, in my opinion, is of the elite level. If he just – I don't even need him to really hit all the jump shots. If he would just take a few a game, I think it would stop everybody from talking and it would help him in the long run. But I have no answers as to why he doesn't. It's got to be something upstairs.
But that's why I asked the defensive question. I mean, because I think the shooting thing has become too simplistic a point on him. I think with him, take that part out. All right, I understand that's a part. He's a point guard, but it's like he doesn't. People act like he never scores. He scores.
Yeah.
Right. To me, this is an outstanding all-around player with only that part missing.
Yeah, and he's all of 23.
Yeah.
Like the we don't have the final scout on what Ben Simmons will be when it's all said and done. So, like I said, I have no idea why. I think it's something that should be noted, but the ability of people to just harp on it constantly as if he's not bringing anything else to the table is just kind of befuddling to me. But I guess that's being a sports fan in this day and age. But I'm constantly amazed at how many hours of discussion are based strictly on this fact, completely ignoring that the guy rolls out of bed and basically averages a triple-double.
Well, harping on it's easy to do. That means you didn't have to do any work. All right.
Right.
So, my friend, thanks so much for your time. Always appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. Welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show today. Bob Buehner's in, Matt Cotrillo's in. Cotrillo's out there because you got to give Cotrillo credit. Ever since the baby was born, you know, he's a great father, great husband. Comes in, works the show, and he's 98 on the slow gun. I mean, he's out there throwing fastballs. The problem is, you know, because the first guy we ever had as the co-host of this show, well, the problem was is that they caught him sign stealing. All right, so I can't believe it.
Steve,
wanted to say, you know, you talked about Lamar Stevens getting ejected from a basketball game at Ohio State. On Saturday, as you were wrapping up your basketball game with Ohio State, the coach from Kentucky, Mr. Calipari, got ejected. And
and who knows?
The room was
who knows what he said?
Or Nate Sestanis.
Yeah. Well, who knows what Cal said? I mean, nobody knows. Because believe me, he didn't look like he was out of control. He was making points, but you don't know what he said it or how he said it. And then Nate Sestanis stepped up. And Nate, look, this is what people forget, that when Kentucky won the national title with Anthony Davis and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who were unquestionably the most talented guys on that team, they did have three or four older guys that made a difference. And I think Nate Sestanis is exactly what Calipari was looking for. Look, I've got all these five-star guys coming in that their semblance of what team is, and this is where I give these guys a lot of credit, their semblance of what team is AAU ball. Like, not the best team building deal. That's, you know, you're trying to get yourself noticed. Plus, there's a lot of individual ball because you're trying to get yourself noticed.
Sure.
But when you're in a situation like this, you need somebody like a Nate Sestanis to be that stabilizing force that A can play. Now, this is very much like Reed Travis last year. Ross Travis, who played here at Penn State, Reed Travis is his cousin. Penn State tried very hard to recruit Reed Travis, and he ended up going to Stanford. Well, he transferred into Kentucky last year as a grad transfer, fifth-year player, and he was the rudder for what they were doing. And that is what Coach Calipari was looking for, I think, out of Nate Sestanis.
You know, there's not a lot of five-star high school basketball players coming out of Emporium, Pennsylvania, that's for sure.
Not a lot of five-star basketball players coming out of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and let alone Emporium up in the Great North. But he is such a mature fellow. And after the coach was ejected, I think Kentucky went on like a 15-0 run to take total control of the game with their coach sitting in the locker room.
Well, you know what? I was at Penn State played in the Cuppenheimer Classic in 1990. 90 or 91. I think it was 1991. So we go down to Atlanta, and they played in the old Omni, which has since been torn down. It's now Phillips Arena. Same spot, new arena. And it was a doubleheader. Penn State was playing Georgia in the second game. The first game was Kentucky against Georgia Tech. And this was, it was December of 91, because this was the year that they played Duke in Philadelphia in that memorable overtime game that Grant Hill threw the ball down to Christian Leiter. Was that season.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sitting there, and it's Rick Pitino as the coach. It's Jamal Mashburn, McKay, and all those guys, right? And the they played Georgia Tech, and the officiating, they fall behind like 15, 20 points. They're down 20 points. And our broadcast location for the next game was right next to the Kentucky bench. So we're right next to Rick Pitino. And Pitino's going, yelling at the officials. He finally says at one point, "I can tell you right now, I'm not going to see the end of this." And a minute later, they double-teed him and threw him out. Herb Sendek, who then went on to be the NC State and Arizona State head coach.
Yeah.
Herb Sendek was his assistant. He took over the rest of the game. Kentucky came all the way back and won.
Well, Herb Sendek is a good coach.
That's how Herb Sendek got the NC State job, was that game.
Wow.
That's how he got the job, was that game. Like, oh, man.
Well, those guys that try to do that, you know, there's sometimes a method to their madness in getting ejected.
Well, you're trying to fire up your own team and make a point to the officials.
Yeah.
Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. Next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.